You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Tuesday, March 21st, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Matty Modica. I'm Greg Sussman here with you, headed out, getting you ready for your drafts, the expert drafts, and everything in between. Good morning, Corey.
Yo, what's your deal, Greg? I feel pretty good this morning. I'm already on second base.
That's fantastic.
Yep, I'm already on second base. I didn't even have to hit or nothing.
How about that?
I just came right up and they put me on second base. I'm in scoring position.
So you're off to a great start this morning.
Drive me in, Matty Mo. Drive me in.
I am ready to send you home. It's a terrific Tuesday morning. I got the number one pick on Saturday main event. So
right,
I am pretty
good.
Stoked.
Mike Trout?
I'm leaning Trout, but Kershaw is an option. I got Kershaw, three different ways, two with Trout, one with Kershaw.
Okay.
Whichever one of the foundations I like best will decide on my pick.
There you go. You have the big Tout Wars weekend, of course, here. Rockin' Riley's this weekend, 844-843-6879. Of course, if you want to come by, you're more than welcome to do that, too, for Tout Wars, right?
Yeah, bring me something.
Yeah, you're going to be hungry.
Anything. Anything. You bring me something to eat. You bring me the beer.
Bills,
you know
dollar
saying?
Bills.
You can bring me, you can tip the fantasy executive. I'm not going to twerk for you, but you can tip the fantasy executive. Yes, whatever. You want to bring me a hat, you know what I mean?
You'll literally take anything.
I'll take anything.
That's cool.
I don't have nothing for y'all, though.
Yeah, so I was kind of wondering this. We have a lot of baseball news to get into, a little football news as well. The Jets have a quarterback.
Oh, Lord.
Jets have a quarterback, so we'll get into that a little bit later on. I also realized, because we had so much fun yesterday, that I didn't announce it was the first day of spring.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
That was yesterday. So today, I got a bunch of questions for you guys in regards to spring training. Who's leading the league in spring training stuff? Because, you know, spring has begun, which kind of made me think, like, why the hell do we call it spring training? It takes place in the winter. Like, literally, spring is yesterday. That was the first day. Baseball starts now in 10 days, right? Like, why in the hell is it spring training, not winter training?
I'm assuming hope springs eternal.
I like that.
I mean, I know in Florida and Arizona it's always warm, but it's still winter. Like, they have, so technically the seasons are still the same, you know. Nothing?
I like the hope springs eternal, but I think maybe they say, because winter training doesn't sound as good, you know, spring football. But spring football is in the spring, though.
Spring football actually is in the spring, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't call it summer football when it's in the spring, they call it spring football.
Yeah, spring ball.
There you go. So it doesn't make sense to me that we call it spring training. It makes zero sense because it's in the winter. The whole thing takes place in the winter.
I guess it's kind of like the Groundhog's Day thing, you know. If he sees the shadow, he goes away. We want to be optimistic. We want to look forward to the warm weather, eating hot dogs at the ballpark, drinking beers.
Dogs. Nathan's.
Yeah, so basically we all agree it makes no sense. Corey?
What's up?
You agree that it makes totally no sense?
I agree it makes no sense, but I don't see... we don't have to change it, though. We don't have to... Papa Parson would always say, you don't have to be in every cat fight.
Oh, I do love the Papa.
We need a reading from the book of Papa Parson. These are quite fantastic.
You don't have to be in every cat fight.
Can we get your dad on the show? Would that be possible?
Maybe Father's Day.
Father, I like that. It's a Sunday that we're not on there.
He's booking him too much out in advance.
He's a very busy guest. I feel like we have better chances at other guests than your father.
Yeah, he's retired now, so he'd just be in the crib.
So he'd literally just sitting there waiting for us to talk to him.
No, he gets out and does a couple of things, you know what I'm saying? He got the little part-time gig, whatever. He does that from time to time. And he does a lot of the other stuff around the community, you know what I mean? He's a leader in the community.
Mm. All right, that's cool. Well, that's funny. So, The other thing, so that I wanted to get into here a little bit, besides the spring training / winter training stuff, which we'll get into a little bit later on in the program, is Tout Wars this weekend.
Yep.
Matty Mo is excited about his main event. He got Corey Parsons in Tout Wars.
I'm in the fold.
He's in the fold. He got a whole bunch of drafts happening here at Rock and Rise, and it's the big draft of draft season. Now, I hate to be like toeing a line here, because, you know, that's not true. I don't really care. Corey.
What's up? Let's tow it.
Tout Wars itself.
Yes.
Is it a draft for experts, or is it a draft to help the mass audience?
I think it's a combination of both. I think the fact that these results will be viewed, looked at, prodded over, picked through more than your home league draft, or even more than Matty Mo's main event, the draft is more public. You know, if people write about it, the touts talk about it. So I think more people look at it. Now, if they decide to look at it as a way to formulate their own opinions and get ready for their own drafts, that's one thing. Now, as far as the guys playing it out, I think that it is more of a situation where they come here, they have the big draft, they have the big weekend. And, you know, some guys by the 4th of July be like, okay, that was fun. Tout Wars is over.
Mm-hmm.
I would always say, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to be 100% honest with you, the fantasy baseball season ends when Tout Wars is over.
Matt?
Well, I'm going to disagree on that.
I know you are, Matt.
Just in general, I'm down for anything that promotes fantasy baseball, fantasy sports in general. I think the labor leagues are more helpful to, say, the public, especially like the auction. The Tout is an OBP league, so it's just a different format. I know OBP leagues have gained some popularity. I have no problem playing either way, but you just need to know the parameters of the league, you know.
Okay, but still, that doesn't really answer my question. Is it great? Is it you're in Tout, right?
No, I'm not in Tout. Corey's in Tout.
Corey's in Tout. You're in a monster expert league, a main event, and when you are drafting your team, I can't imagine you're thinking about me being like, oh boy, fans of us are looking at the league. Like, you care for yourself.
Oh yeah, right? I care 100% about my players, my team, my picks. But what Corey said, that's just the first day. That's the first step. Because the key is going to be your free agent acquisitions throughout the season, staying on top of things. Knowing who to add is supremely important, but just as important, as I mentioned last week, is who do you drop? Because you might if you drop that wrong player, that's going to just eat at you all season long.
There's no sure, but I'm talking about as a regular fan, right? And this is to Corey's point that for many of these guys, baseball season's over at Tout Wars, right? Like me personally, right? I'll come here Monday morning. We're on the air. I'll ask you, oh, how was Tout Wars? And we'll tell you that. I'm done with it, right? Like I'm done as a fan. I'm not going to sit in my draft and be like, oh man, so and so took Clayton Kershaw for number one. Matt Modica took Clayton Kershaw number one overall, given what we just talked about. I better take Clayton Kershaw number one overall. Like, to me, you talked about, like, it's important to know not just who to pick up, but who you dropped, right? Like, but that has no bearing on the regular player who Matt Modica is dropping from his team. What do I care?
Oh, absolutely. You make a valid point. I mean, honestly, the only people who really care about who finishes where in Tout Wars are the Tout Wars participants.
Right.
You know, I don't care if the day, like you say, after the draft.
Correct.
Who does what and does, you know.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with that. So we make it this massive weekend that it's all about this Tout Wars and all the experts get together. And it's a wonderful weekend and that's awesome. But Corey,
yo,
it's kind of just for the experts. It's not. I don't think it's for the mass audience.
The mass audience will get a look at it, Greg. They'll get a look at the drafts. They'll get a look at auction values, and they can apply that to their own auctions and drafts if they choose to do so.
But do you think more people will not to? I think that more people will probably just read Matthew Berry's Love Hate column than check out the Tout Wars drafts.
Matthew Berry don't write baseball.
Tristan Cockcroft's Love Hate column.
It's another tool that's out there. You feel what I'm saying?
I get
like,
it.
Like, you can look at it. You can use it, whatever. It's people that look. It's people that do will make a point of reference. Oh, let me see what happened in Tout Wars. They, you know, you go on Twitter, you find an article. Oh, Ray Flowers. Let me see how his team look. Or let me see what he paid for a couple guys, whatever. Oh, you know what? I do like Anthony Rizzo. Oh, he paid 41. All right, cool. I know on draft day, I need to, if I, you know, stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's helpful.
Okay.
Oh, let me see what closers these guys are speculating on. Oh, how much they paid for them in the auction. Oh, Cam Bedrosian, $2. All right, bet. You know what I'm saying? So, stuff like that, I think the audience looks at that, stuff like that. Now, do you say, oh, well, they're not calling us? Well, only 3% of the listening audience phone calls. So it's a lot of people that's out there that's just listening that you don't know about. Not everybody is interacting with us 365, 24/7. So, or even everybody, most people don't even interact with us once a week. They listen, they get their advice, they go about their business, kind of like in silent. You know what I'm saying? They may go home. Hey, honey, so listen to the radio this morning, fantasy executive say something crazy. I'll never know that. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, I think Twitter has become a useful tool of interaction and stuff like that.
You can't play fantasy without Twitter, man.
Yeah, I mean, I love Twitter. I've never signed up for Facebook, but I'm a big Twitter guy.
Really? You never had a Facebook page?
No, I pretty much was about to sign up, but I never hit that button to whatever, confirm it and send it in. So, I mean, look, it's... Listen to it, enjoy it, whatever you want to take from it. But just like with statistics, like advanced metrics and stuff, I don't look at every single thing. I find the ones that I like. And just what, say, you want to call them experts or industry people, whatever you want to do. Find some people that you think are good, you like. And, you know, you read some of their stuff. Look at maybe who they pick. I mean, what I would take from this, besides maybe some pricing in certain things, is who are these guys speculating on late? Those are the guys that could probably help you the most. We all know. I mean, we definitely pay too much attention to the early rounds. Everybody knows the early rounds. That's like the least helpful thing in the world. But, you know, like I said, I'm not going to knock anything that promotes fantasy sports, so I'm all in.
Oh, I agree. It is a monster promotion for the industry and for these experts that come in here that, like, you know, have their radio shows and have their websites and promote themselves. To me, it's a great celebration of the fantasy industry by the fantasy industry. They're celebrating themselves, Corey.
Yeah.
That's what it just feels like.
It happens.
It's like the convention.
It's like a fantasy convention. You know what I'm saying? Delegates, you come in, you have a good time. Probably be a couple backdoor deals cut. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't be wheeling and dealing. You know what I mean? Get in the draft, have a little fun, talk a little trash with the homies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Watch NCAA slide. You know what I mean? You can't knock the draft process. You can't knock the dude escape, the man weekend. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
This is at a higher level. We play a little fantasy along with it. We'll do some radio shows. I see my homie Dr. Voto in a minute. So I'd be like, Doc, come holler at me. Doc, come in the studio, talk a little trash, shake his hand, buy him a beer, you know what I mean? Catch up, reminisce about old times. Good luck in your draft, you feel what I'm saying? It's like, well, you know, Tony come up. Tony, what's good? What's going on, man? You know what I mean? He tell a couple jokes. and then, you know, go about our business. You know, see Chris List. I'm like, oh, son, you live in Germany now. How's that going? Oh, I like it, whatever. Yo, you Cowboys, yeah, Giants, you know what I mean? Greg, you got to, this is what we do, baby. You got to love this stuff.
Well, Corey, let me ask you, what do you find more helpful? Say these tout drafts or like when the NFFC New York Super League, if people follow that, or say like a fantasy baseball league on that level, say like with the NFBC?
I'll be honest, you know, when I want to get a good look at a draft board, especially a draft. I look at the NFFC's results that they have posted on the message board. That'll give me a start. If I can get my hands on a full message board, you send one. You sent the auction values. Like, I'll look at that. Another thing, this is me, obviously. We doing these shows and stuff like that. You know, when something changes, when something happens. Like, I want to see, like, J.D. Martinez.
Right.
Like, I want to look right now. Let me see how far J.D. Martinez dropped. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that's news, so I'm trying to do that kind of stuff. But me as a player, yeah, I'll use the NFFC, NFBC leagues to get kind of a first look at what some of the real smart people are doing. Then when it comes to the expert leagues, I'll be honest with you, I'm more like, okay, let me talk about this because these people have a profile in the industry. Oh, look what Mike Podhorzer did. You know what I'm saying? Or look what I don't know, what's one of these schmucks' name? Or look what Scott Schwane did. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Is that the fantasy Sherpa?
Yeah, that's a fantasy Sherpa. You know what I mean? Well, I'm not calling him a schmuck per se. Mm. I'm just saying, you know, I'll look at that too, because then we can make conversations, talk about it, whatever. But I'll be honest, for the hardcore, let me see what's really going on. I'm going to look at the NFBC dudes. Now, if you get a draft, like this weekend, for what you know, we doing the show, we talking, we chopping it up. Maybe we talking a little NC2A. Maybe we talking, you know, a little WBC. Maybe we talking whatever, you know, the Reds rotation. And I see, you know, I get word in my ear, oh, JD Martinez just went for 12. I'll stop. Like, yo, we got breaking news. JD Martinez.
Why is that breaking news?
Because that's important to fantasy owners. Feel what I'm saying? Like, that's important stuff to fantasy owners right there. So I'll be like, okay, so we got him going for 12. Listen, let's just say me and Modica doing it. Me, I'm like, yo, so mad. You know what I mean? We just heard AL tout. JD Martinez goes for 12. You got a lot of people out there that already have JD Martinez on their team. How do you think they recover? You know, well, what's the latest news? Do we need a recovery?
It's going to be, he's getting a CT scan on Friday.
He's going to another
specialist. And
this thing is serious.
This thing is real serious. I mean, it's a shame because, as we mentioned, he's such a good player, and I think everyone was excited for him. I know you were. You
I got him on the damn team.
And I think that was a great pick, honestly.
Thank you.
You know, at the time.
But, you know, it's not like, so like, much today.
Things change, and now, you know, you do have the ability to trade, so that's a wonderful feature in that league. And, you know, maybe you have some strength somewhere that you can possibly pull something off, and you know, it's a long season. Other guys will come up.
Exactly. So you want to see that situation, how that plays out. You know, you want to see, oh, somebody not be ready for opening day. How is he valued in the room? Whatever the case may be. So yeah, like, you know, it'd be wise to move players down your rankings, whatever. So it's a lot going on. You gotta understand, when we're broadcasting, a lot of times people are going to be driving to their auctions. So that's, they want to get that relevant information. You feel what I'm saying? As you move throughout the course of the programming, as they see what the touts are doing, you know what I'm saying? They might, you know, you might have a nighttime draft and the mixed league is going on. You throw it on, you have our commentary. So I think it's important, the more ways you have to cover it, the more we can get the information out to the fantasy baseball public that's depending on us.
Do you think, Matt, that Tout Wars, the timing is right to help most fantasy baseball players?
I think the majority will be drafting this weekend and next weekend. So I think it is right. And they've had, you know, various other, as they say, expert leagues with labor and all that kind of stuff. So, but I do think this is the right time. I think it's going to be a great weekend. There's some really good people in this industry that I've gotten to know. So I'll be looking forward to having a beer or two with them and just getting together. And even with the NFBC people, I'm excited to hang out this weekend with them as well.
Yeah, bring them by. It's all to come through.
844-843-6879. How much do you, if you're not in Tout Wars, how much do you care about Tout Wars? I want to know. 844-843-6879. Roto Experts in the Morning rolls on right after this.
Oh, Bavona's here today.
How much do you care about Tout Wars? I want to know. 844-843-6879. Tweet at us at FNTS by Radio, at Greg Sussman, at The Fantasy Exact,
yo,
at CTM Baseball.
Also, shout out to Matt Modica. Make sure you go support CTM Baseball. You know what I'm saying? Go on the website, look around, get some tips from one of the best fantasy players in the business. Can you do that for me and Matt, please?
Oh, thank you, Corey.
No problem.
There you go. There you go. Also, speaking of that, rotoexperts.com is a good place to support, too.
Yeah. It's not a one-man operation.
Instead of listening to Tout Wars for hours, you can actually go to rotoexperts.com, pay $29.95, cheaper if you enter in free radio when you check out. And you get, like, 800 player profiles. You get rankings from the number one ranker in the business the last 2 years running, Jake Seeley, the all-in kid. You get head-to-head point rankings from my guy, my best friend forever, Mike Floro. You get contract year players from Frankie Stanfill. All that is included inside the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package, available right now. Exclusive Edge Package, rotoexperts.com, free radio when you check out.
I do love the new commercial. So with Tyrus and some other wrestlers yesterday. That was well done.
You like that? Frankie Stample put that together.
Oh, well done, Frankie.
Are you a wrestling fan, Matt?
I'm really
you knew,
not,
you knew who Tyrus was.
I know who Tyrus was. I'm a fan of the Greg Gutfeld show. I don't think anybody knows what the hell I'm talking about, but
exactly, on Fox News.
Yes, Tyrus is on that show on Saturday nights, and
yeah,
I do like
it. I feel like I better, like, now I know that Matt Corey Dunn and Matt watches back Fox News, I feel like I need to limit my jokes.
I never watched it.
Yeah, just saying in general. Limit my night.
No, I mean, I keep abreast of what's going on. I'm not big on propaganda.
My point exactly. Hey, let's get into some baseball news. You guys talk about JD Martinez. He's visiting Dr. Robert Anderson here for that CT scan. Basically, Dr. Robert Anderson, I feel like we've kind of come to know this in recent years, but Dr. Robert Anderson is basically the equivalent of Dr. James Andrews for elbows. This is the guy for feet. You see it in every sport. If you got a foot injury, you go down to North Carolina and you deal with Dr. Robert Anderson. This isn't good, Matt.
No, this is not good at all. And I saw him go Sunday night, like 49th overall, and that was way too bullish for me. As I mentioned yesterday, unless he's Daniel Day-Lewis in my left foot, I'm not going with a one-foot man entering the season. He's a power guy. He needs to be able to have that foundation. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how far he would fall if I was doing a draft in the next day or two before Friday. He'd have to fall severely far for me to even take a shot.
For me, JD Martinez, there's a lot of uncertainty here. And, of course, when will we hear back? As Matt just said, he's not going to talk to Robert Anderson until Friday, which it really, really scares me.
Why don't they get him to the damn doctor sooner than that?
Because I don't know if it matters.
This is an emergency, Greg.
Maybe it's not.
It is an emergency.
No, it is an emergency.
You're going to draft him this weekend. How the hell is this not an emergency? Opening day is 10 days from now. This is emergency. You know what happened when David Price, Dr. James Andrews was at the combine? They flew Price out to the combine. He was working with people, prospects in the NFL that need jobs. Said, no, need you to relax. Opening day coming. David Wright, go see him. JD Martinez, he's waiting on an appointment? No, this is an emergency. Go in there and go see the damn man so we can know what the hell is going on this weekend.
So I don't know if it is an emergency is what I'm saying. Basically, it's an emergency for you for drafts, no question. For me, for drafts, obviously. But for the Tigers, I mean, they may already know how bad this is. And like, listen, there's nothing we can do. Like, there's literally nothing
to
do.
Well, then let us know that.
Greg does make a really good point. The Tigers probably know what the deal is, what the writing on, I mean, the writing on the wall pretty much seems like this is going to end very badly.
thanks, man.
You know, so I'm just trying to be, just trying to spread the word of truth, you know. Yeah. Unfortunately for you, Corey. Yeah. But, you know, I agree with Corey. Why are we going to wait? Why does this have to happen till Friday? Yeah. That does not seem to make sense. Put the guy on a plane. Get him there. Give the doc a few extra dollars.
Bring the doctor into your spot.
Yeah, or fly the doctor in.
You know, they don't obviously owe us anything. When it came to David Price, he flew back to the combine because they had no idea. The Tigers have an idea. They've had two MRIs, and they haven't released a damn word either way, which makes me, of course, think the worst, and all of us think the worst. Because if he didn't need to go see Dr. Robert Anderson, well, we'd know that already. You know, I would assume the worst when it comes to JD Martinez.
Yeah, when he's going to see Dr. Robert Anderson, just think about that Northwestern kid that annoyed the hell out of me this weekend, crying. That's what Tiger fans are.
But let's, all right, so you'll bring it up again, I'll bring my point up again. Is that he annoyed you, but...
Well, I don't. It was the way they kept showing it. Like, I don't even want to like put it on him.
Thank
it was
you.
CBS.
Yes.
I'll correct the record for that. You know, as you said, it was child exploitations.
Exactly.
He was crying. His feelings was hurt.
He felt hard for his team, man. I'm not sorry. Look,
you know how much I've cried behind his team.
Yes, I know.
Just not like on TV. Or
in your car.
All right, crazy so, like that. Yeah.
So let's assume JD Martinez is out. Right. Let's assume he's out for a significant period of time. How does this affect the Tigers, guys? Like, is Stephen Moyle all of a sudden going to become an asset? I mean, he has had a terrible spring training. I believe he has zero home runs all spring. Like, he has stunk. Is he someone that we should, at the end of the drafts, Matt, like, be drafting now?
I mean, he's somebody of relevance now. Just because, I mean, he's been somebody that was supposed to be a lot better than he's been. But the guy that I think is going to get the role is Jacoby Jones might be the man.
Well, I thought he was supposed to be the starting center fielder.
Yeah, well, he's going to be there. I mean, is Stephen Moyer that good? I mean, he's shown flashes. I don't know if he has the contact rate. I don't really know what other options they have, but it's really because I really like this Tiger team, and you know maybe you know they have Upton. They still have firepower. So if we can get some hope of good news that maybe say he's only out 2 months.
Oh, that's good news.
Well, I mean, considering what it seems like, yeah. If we're looking at what, you know, if I'm thinking about, you know, could this be a season-ending injury? That's a possibility.
Oh, my.
So, I mean.
Wait, what was the Greg?
I don't know why that sound was on there. I agree. What about how the other hitters are affected in the lineup, though, Corey? The Miguel Cabreras, the Victor Martinez, the Justin Uptons, who, you know.
I'm not a big lineup protection guy.
Really?
I'm every man to hold his own. I think in some situations it's important you take a look at it, obviously, and stuff like that. But, no, they do have some firepower in this lineup. Now, missing Martinez is going to hurt, but this is what they got to do. You remember the Titans when the quarterback got hurt and they went to Petey?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to call the
Rev. The Rev got hurt.
Yeah. So you got to call Moyer or you know, one of these backups over, and you got to be like, you got to, you know, like, listen, JD's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's over.
Is JD going to be okay?
No, JD's going to be okay, son, but we need you to step up.
What about, say, Jay Bruce or Curtis Grandison in Detroit?
Well, so that's one thing that the Tigers actually.
I was getting into my thing, but a trade is cool.
I'm sorry.
I was getting ready to reenact Remember the Titans, but.
God, well, it's my favorite movie.
Petey, we're trading you. We're making a trade.
But I just came from California.
Yeah, but we're making a trade. We got to get Jay Bruce in here.
Are you sending me back to California?
No, you can stay with us, but you're still going to be on the bench.
Every time you mention Petey, I'm always thinking of like Dumb and Dumber with the little parachute scene.
Oh, man.
You know who made the championship play in that season? Rev. Rev came back out.
That's right.
Rev the football.
Yeah, Rev came back out.
Now JD Martinez is going to come out and he's going to bunt the ball.
I know. But that's not till the season's over, though.
No.
We need, who is Petey on the Tigers?
Well, he's saying Jacoby Jones.
I think the guy that really, if Nick Castellanos gets locked into that two-hole now, saying JD Martinez is out, and he's batting ahead of, say, Miggy, he's pretty much a lock to be seeing, you know, fastballs.
That's true.
That's a boom to his stock. I mean, what are they going to do right now? I think, you know, they've been devising a plan. I was very happy that Detroit didn't sell this offseason, but, you know, they still, like I said, they still have the firepower. Let's see what happens come Friday. But JD Martinez, you really gotta give him a.
You know what? First of all, the story should leak first, or some information should come out of Detroit first. But if we have to wait for by the time we get to Friday, they're gonna have another excuse. Oh, he missed a flight, or oh, we still looking at his foot. He's about to get a fifth opinion. You feel what I'm saying, man? I want them to come out and tell. I wonder if we can call the front office.
Well, if like James Comey was running the Tigers, we would know all this.
Yeah, put it out already.
So, in your estimation, then, Modica, the biggest, almost benefactor, if you will, is Nick Castellanos?
I think who's ever rocking that two spot. I know they said they didn't want Justin Upton batting two.
Right.
So
he strikes out too much.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Wasn't Castellanos always batting two?
Not in the spring training lineups early on. I haven't really been following, you know, very closely. Mm-hmm. The WBC has actually been so damn entertaining. Right now, I'm looking at roster resources, and Castellanos is in the number two spot now. But this is
post JD Martinez.
Well, actually, they have JD Martinez in the five spot still. They're holding out hope for Corey Parsons here.
Yeah, thank you.
But
thank you, roster resources.
I don't know. I mean, I hope he's the number two guy. I like him a lot, Castellanos, but I think that's where he'll fall. You got to keep V-Mart. I love V-Mart behind Miggy. You know.
But I don't think it's changed. J.D. Martinez is always batting fifth, I think.
Well, I mean, like I'm seeing Castellanos here, but when I was paying attention early on in spring training, like they had the lineups in with the everyday players, He wasn't batting second every day.
Who was?
I forget who was, but that was one of the things I was noticing. I'm like, Castellanos is, because I'm kind of keyed on him as one of the later options for third base, and I'm like, damn, he's not batting second, you know. So, but now now they have him projected here to trust the resource. I mean, so it's still spring training, and with JD, I mean, Justin Upton in the five hole. For Justin Upton owners, like myself, who grabbed him with the eighth pick in the eighth round and was ecstatic on Sunday night, you know, that's a boom to him.
To be honest with you, Corey, never ecstatic to draft Justin Upton.
You know what, though? That's a good point you make there. But he hits 30 home runs. The numbers are there. Like, he was terrible. He was god-awful. That's another thing. You hear these people in April, like, from fantasy experts to fantasy players, you're going to hear, come April, people screaming, oh, I was right on this guy.
Sure.
I was, you know, that guy sucks. All this kind of stuff. But look at last year. Brian Dozier was outright terrible for the first 2 months. Justin Turner, outright terrible for the first 2 months. And these guys were studs the final 4 months. Justin Upton, the last 6 weeks of the season, was in beast mode. So, you know,
So you mean
in Roto, more than head-to-head, you know, all you care about is at the end of the year, those numbers.
So I just got to tread water until JD gets back.
If he gets back.
Yeah, well, maybe JD does like, maybe he's like Robert Redford in the National, like that.
But how do I tread water until then? Because I'm looking at this kid right here on Roto World, Jacoby Jones, and he kind of looked like Petey, to be honest with you. It really is Petey. Petey's all grown up and he's playing baseball now.
You do know that Petey wasn't the quarterback, right?
Huh?
Petey wasn't the quarterback. I remember that.
Oh,
that was Sunshine.
Sunshine, my bad.
That's why I was talking about California.
Yeah, yeah.
Petey said that line.
But Jacoby Jones looks like Sunshine. He does.
Petey Jones looks like Sunshine. Let me say.
Look at
P. Jones and like, Jacoby Jones.
Jacoby Jones look like Sunshine.
Jacoby Jones kind of does look like Sunshine.
Look, man, Jacoby Jones look like a grown-up Sunshine. He cut his hair.
How about that? Jacoby Hippie. Jones, Sunshine. Sunshine.
I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe Stephen Moyer steps in, fills a void. You know, maybe JD's only out a couple of months. Moyer holds the water for them. I'm not so optimistic on that, but, you know. Possibilities
are endless. Take a break. We're going to come back. I said something yesterday about the closer in Washington, and I feel like I nailed it. We'll talk about it next here on the Roto Experts. Yeah. So yesterday on the show, Matty Modica said, listen, if I'm looking for a closer, it depends where I want. But I'm kind of in on Sean Kelly still. And I was like, dude, the Sean Kelly thing, it's not a thing. Let's get off Sean Kelly. And here we are for the, I believe, third time in a row here this spring. Cody Glover has pitched the ninth inning. And yes, we realize that the ninth inning, in spring training, you're facing nothing. Everybody's out of the game by the ninth inning. I think we all realize that. However, we look at trends. Dusty Baker has said he wants a closer. He's not going by a closer by committee. Okay, we all agreed with that. He also, in the past, has used his closer in the ninth inning in spring training. Example, last season, there was no competition. Jonathan Papelbon was the closer for Washington. Where did he pitch in spring for Washington? The ninth inning. Who's pitching in the ninth inning right now? That would be Cody Glover. How confident are you if you had a draft today, Matt, and Cody Glover was on the board, how confident are you that he would be the closer for Washington?
Well, I got to give you props. You nailed this yesterday. You were right on point. I was wrong. Damn you, Dusty. You know, but I guess I'm seeing the Cody Glover light. It's all signs are pointing to this now. I mean, the kid does pretty much pop in the mid to high 90s, around 97. And, I mean, I just didn't think Dusty was going to go with someone this young to start off. I thought maybe eventually, if Sean Kelly couldn't do it or if the elbow blew out, it would be...
Let's not talk about elbows blowing
out.
Yeah, that's scary.
You upset about it?
That's no, it hurts me.
But, I mean, with Dusty, I think you got to have come-to-Jesus moments. He's, like, so damn frustrating. You know, he's set in his ways, but this is a way I didn't see coming. So I guess maybe now I've seen the light. Greg Sussman has shined it on me. And I'm kind of thinking it's I'm going to lean towards Cody Glover. I know Mike Florio took Cody Glover yesterday. We were talking about his NFBC draft, and he was like in the 21st round. And we were talking about starting pitchers he was looking for, like a Dylan Bundy, or maybe it was a 20th round, something like that. But we're talking Dylan Bundy and Selman was still on the board. Those guys went. He told me he took Cody Glover. Good job by him.
Yeah.
Good job by Sussman. What do you think, Corey?
I'm looking at some of his Cody Glover. I have a scouting report on him. He's, the fastball is in the 90s, but he's not like a big strikeout guy. And he, the ball can get out the ballpark on him. That's not good for the ninth inning guy.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Kelly has the skills. He really does. He's been a very good reliever for a few years now. But, you know, two Tommy John surgeries. I like the Blanton signing, so I thought that straightened it up. I really was never buying Blake Tryon as
Yeah, I didn't really like Blake Tryon either.
But, you know, it's like I think the point you made, Greg, was excellent in the fact that seeing what Dusty Baker does with the closer, how he uses him in spring training. So, I mean, you have to follow that lead, and now you're starting to hear some more and more reports coming out. Good
so
job by you.
The odd, it's not a good job necessarily. This guy could suck, so let's not give me any credit yet. But Cody Glover is a presumed closer on a good team. Corey, if we now know or now can safely assume that Cody Glover is the closer with Washington, where do we take
we're
him?
Still speculating on him.
Of
because
course.
We're still speculating. Don't get ahead of yourself, Greg.
Sorry.
We're still speculating on him. Now listen, he very well could be the opening day closer. How much value does that have?
That's why I'm asking.
We got
you,
closer
yes.
reports in every damn draft kit. Oh, if this guy gets hurt, he's the next guy up. If this guy gets hurt, he's the next guy up. You know what? If you got this guy in the minors, he can come up, he can get some saves. It's going to be saves to go around. That's why I'm the type of cat where I like, listen, give me a closer. You know what I'm saying? Give me somebody, maybe a guy or two that's reliable. Don't got to pay too much for him on draft day. I'll go to board that way with my closers. I do not want to be spending $100 here, $100 there for a closer throughout the season when these guys flame out and get you two or three saves. You're paying fab money. You're paying $40 a damn save. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that does get crazy. Very expensive. It's a maddening process. You got enough things to worry about on Sundays. I mean,
yeah.
Sundays are like
yeah, exactly.
a day of hell for me. And I think most people that play in the fab leagues feel the same way. But it's just, I think there's certain ones, I mean, if Cody Glover is going to get the job, regardless if he can hold it or not, the starting day, the opening day closer for the Nationals is a very enticing.
It's enticing.
You have to like that. I mean, whether he fails or succeeds is another thing, but it's a guy that would definitely be moving up my draft board.
Okay, but you say that. You're moving up your draft board, and you're like, oh, I don't know if he's going to hold on the job. Fab this, fab that. Okay, great. Where are we drafting him? Like, I'll give you some names. You tell me if you'd rather have Cody Glover or this guy. Huh, perfect start. Matt, would you rather have Cody Glover or Tony Watson?
I am the anti-Tony Watson
Which is
guy.
Why I started at Tony Watson, because I know that about
I
you.
I said, you know, if he was a stock, I said this for a couple months back, if he was a stock, I'd have a huge short position on him. I think he's the least talented of those three arms, and there's even a fourth arm in Rivera. Oh, wow. That's
why I'm starting there.
That is a good one. I mean, for the fact that I refuse to draft Tony Watson, I guess I would go Cody Glover, because I'm going to wait a couple of rounds and I'm going to take the shot on this kid.
Watson hasn't been looking good.
Terrible.
Yeah, he's stinking to join up.
But he's still a closer.
Well, how long is he going to have the job for?
I don't have those answers, maybe, Corey. Maybe, I don't know how long Cody Glover will have the job either, though.
Maybe he has like a thing where stage fright. And you know,
nope.
Stage fright.
I know what stage fright.
Where he's like, okay, everybody's watching me. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not doing a good job. So, but when I get back to Pittsburgh and the regular season starts, I'll be able to turn it around, get more comfortable around my teammates, around the clubhouse. The fans will start to like me. But if I was Tony Watson, right, I would be worried about Juan Nicasio. Because Juan Nicasio is probably sitting somewhere in the background, like, yeah, you know.
So
do
is
you
Danny
think
Hudson.
Juan? Yeah, and do you think This is interesting. Do you think they're back channeling? No. Like going to Ray Searidge, like you saw what he did yesterday. Like he gave up another three runs. You feel what I'm saying? Clearly, he doesn't want this job. Do you think that goes on,
no.
Or do you think he's like, oh man, you're doing? Hey, don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Don't just come on, patting him on the back. Like it'll be fine. We'll get up to Pittsburgh, and the job will be yours. Or see, what do you think, Matt? You think it's back channeling, or you think it's support?
Well, I think for now they're going to give him the support. The problem with Tony Watson is he had very good skills. But until last season, his skills were eroding, and they didn't get any better when he was the closer.
Mm.
So, I mean, they brought in Daniel Hudson. He seems like the guy that would get the first crack. I'm a Juan Nicasio guy. I've been preaching Nicasio, you know. But the problem with Nicasio is I think the Pirates might want to use him in that Andrew Miller-type role. He's a guy that can go, say, an inning and a third, an inning and two-thirds. So maybe they stretch him out a little more. He's the guy that I've been betting on. He's the guy I want to see.
Well, let's see. Well, are the Pirates going to be in the race?
Well, no, the Pirates have the attitude, at least for the first couple of months.
Yeah.
They're going to try and be a contender.
Okay.
And once that goes south, or once they come to the realization that they're not.
Then they might just blow the
whole
thing
up. Yeah, they're going to start. You're going to see Andrew McCutchen, if the Pirates are out of it, is going to get moved.
Yeah.
And especially if. Like we believe, McCutchen's going to have a bounce-back season. He's going to be in high demand. And Pittsburgh has Austin Meadows, who's highly regarded in the minor leagues. And they're a team that has to make these type of moves. If they're not in it, they have to move an Andrew McCutchen and get back the best minor leaguers, the best package that they can put together. So it's going to be interesting there.
Continuing on, would you rather have Greg Holland, or would you rather have Coda Glover?
I took Greg Holland Sunday night in the 15th round. So now I'm going off the basis that Coda Glover is the starting, or I'm just still...
Sure, yeah. You're going off the basis that right now you're drafting tonight.
I'm drafting tonight.
Here's all the information
you
have.
You know what? Colorado's tough. I might still go Greg Holland by a hair.
Okay. Corey?
Well, Greg Holland's done it before.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, Adam Ottavino. Then, you know, the Rockies were like, slow down.
Mm-hmm.
So, see what I'm saying, what I'm going with here? So you got Ottavino, who kind of was like, what's his name? Sean Kelly? Yeah. So they were similar. So now... You get Glover, you get Coda, and you get Holland. But Holland has done this gig before. We don't know much.
In Colorado, though, for a worse team than Washington.
Well, they don't play all the games in Colorado.
Just half.
Yeah. This is 50% of them.
Yeah.
No, I think I like Matthew's response. I think you go Holland by a hair. I'm going with Holland because I've seen him in the role. He's done it before. And then it seems like Dusty Baker is kind of out of whack a little bit. Now, it's tough. And the reason why it's only by hair is because Ottavino is back channeling, too.
This is why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, Ottavino is back channeling, too, because Ottavino's like, listen, you know. But they gave Holland a gig for a reason. So I think Holland has a longer leash than Coda Glover.
I agree. I think Holland does have the longer leash. That's why I'm edging with him as well. He's like Corey said, he's done it before, so. Who do you got next?
Sam Dyson.
I know everybody's favorite guy. My favorite guy is Tony Watson, as I said. But everybody else, it seems like, the favorite guy to lose the job is Sam Dyson.
Everyone loves Matt Bush, and they love Jeremy Jeffries. No one likes Sam Dyson.
I'm drafting today. I'm going to go Sam Dyson. I understand why people have concerns about him, but he's the guy right now. I think Matt Bush is another guy they like in that role for now. They do have Jeremy Jeffers as well. I like Matt Bush over Jeremy Jeffers. But if I had to make the call today, it's Sam Dyson for me. He does throw like 95. I mean, people seem to forget that.
And you got to think, he's in the World Baseball Classic, right?
Sam Dyson is?
That I'm not sure. I mean, honestly, I'm really not
sure. I knew Gregerson's been closing for them, so I don't know if Sam Dyson
is.
I'm not sure.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, well, okay, I think he was supposed to go. So maybe he was like in that first round.
Okay.
So if they win... He's like a hero.
Right.
So that could... Listen.
American hero, I understand.
Yeah, so they give him the job.
All right. Let me go to the next one for you. Coda Glover or Cam Bedrosian?
It's Cam Bedrosian for me.
So that's the easiest one for you.
Yeah, that's not even close.
We like Cam. We like Cam.
I'm sorry. Kota Glover or Brandon Moore?
San Diego.
I know some people really like Brandon Moore. I'm not a Brandon Moore guy. I see why people like him. And he is pitching in San Diego, in Petco. I know Petco isn't the pitcher's pocket used to be, but if Carter Capps, once he gets healthy and gets up there, he'll probably usurp that role. I like even a Brad Hand. I don't know if they give it to him because he's left-handed, but I'm just not a Brandon Mauer guy. I'm going Kota Glover. Much better team. The Padres are going to be pitiful.
What's wrong with Carter Capps?
He's coming back from Tommy John.
Oh, he's a Tommy John guy.
And he's got that control issue. Crazy delivery. Is that legal or not?
It's not legal anymore. That's right. He's going to have to figure that out.
Oh, yeah.
He's a hop, skip, and a jump.
You can't go with him.
I agree. Okay.
He's got too much going on.
Well, you never go with Carter Capps. But he's got Brandon Moore is the closer.
He's got some nice
stuff. All right, last one for you. Because I think the other one's kind of obvious. Like, I know you're going to take Kota Glover with Brandon Kinsler. I know you despise that guy. But here's the last one for you. It's a three-man weave here. Kota Glover, Hector Neris, or Genemar Gomez?
I'm going to go Glover. I know they're saying Genemar Gomez is the closer.
Everybody hates Genemar Gomez.
Yeah, I don't see lightning striking twice with him this season, even though he's the opening day. He's either going to lose it. The problem why I'm not going to go Neris neither is I don't know if Neris gets that job initially anyway if Gomez loses it. They got Joaquin Benoit there who can fill that role. Maybe they want to stall Neris's clock because once you start making saves, you become more expensive of an arbitration. So, and the Phillies aren't at that point. So I think it's Kota Glover once again.
I'm going to go with my guy because he's got the job right now.
Genemar?
He's on my top wars team.
I love Genemar. Everybody knows that about me.
I got to support Genemar Gomez. He's on my top wars team. Now listen, we know Hector Neris is the young, hot, flashy thing. He's sitting right there.
He's in the WBC. He's letting up runs.
But Genemar Gomez. Now listen, he's probably going to be on a short leash too. But when I drafted him in top wars, I talked to his agent.
Right.
And we were like, no, it's a short leash here, but can you give us your best, your best coming out the gate so we can calm that groundswell down? He agreed to it.
Well, Corey, you took him late, so I don't have a problem with that. He's got the job right now.
He's one of my last picks.
You go in the season, he's got the job. Maybe you get some saves. And if he loses it, it's not that it hurt you.
Exactly, and that's what it is right there. I can get him and David Robertson, give me them saves right. Go ahead.
We take a break. We come back. We got Jim Moore's agents on the phone. We'll talk to Jim Moore's agents next year on the Rockford. Drum and cheese. 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 So, as I said, Genemar Gomez's agent on the line. He's represented by SPS Sports Group. Of course, SPS stands for Sussman Parsons Sports.
Yep.
So, Greg Sussman, Corey Parsons, Genemar Gomez's agents. How you doing?
Tell him hello.
We will. Represent him.
Oh, yeah. So we are the agents.
Yes.
So
SPS Sports Group, Sussman Parsons Sports.
Yep. We
which of course Sussman Parsons Sports Group. That's what it stands for.
We have Genemar Gomez. Mm-hmm. He's going late in drafts. Yeah. Nobody likes him.
Everybody hates him.
Everybody hates him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be so quick to write him off. He'll cost you a dollar. A dollar make you holler. Everybody's mm-hmm. down on him. Go in there and get those early saves.
Yeah, I mean, being able to accumulate some saves early, I mean, helps you. The only thing you're worried about is Gomez getting blown up like a grenade, which can, it'll still be early in the season, so you got plenty of time to protect your ratios, but that's the only thing I could, that's the only bad news I'm going to get.
I get it. Everybody hates Gomez because Neris is a better pitcher. Benoit is there. Like, Gomez can't do it again. All the peripherals were terrible. In September, he was terrible. But, Matt, why do we throw out the first 6 months of the season?
I mean, I try not to, but I mean, with certain players in baseball, certain guys will have hot streaks. And you'll even see it with pretty much all the relievers. Maybe there's a couple besides like a Britton, Jansen, and Chapman. But even like an Edwin Diaz, as brilliant as he is, he struggled late down late down the season. He was young. He just came up from Double A. I mean, if you're watching this kid now pitching WBC, he's just flat out fantastic. So, I mean, but there's nothing that supports Gomez. He's never, I mean, he's been around. He's a guy we know. It's not like something new happened here.
He didn't have 37 saves last year.
He was like leading the league by like the All-Star break.
Why do people hate this guy? He had 37 saves
last
year.
That's our guy. They hate him. I don't understand it.
I don't know. I don't know, Greg. I don't know. He's not a K to nine guy. That's why everybody. Stupid. You know, they got, they like,
yeah, this
fantasy guys like strikeouts.
Parson and I like
saves.
Boom. 1 hour down, one more to go. We come back. My questions for spring. Stick around. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, myself, Greg Sussman, here with you. One more hour to go. And we are rocking this morning because it's the second day of spring. It's nice. And that kind of made me look back on winter training and close the door. So given that winter training, Modica and Corey, is now over. What was that? What was that, Chris? No? Okay. Given that winter training is over, I wanted to put a nice bow on it. So, gentlemen, here we go. Corey.
Yo.
Do you know who is leading spring training in wins?
The most wins in spring training.
Winter training.
Winter training. The most wins in winter training?
Yes.
Who's pitching the most?
So I have two answers. I have one guy like you're not going to get, and then one guy who's like fantasy relevant. We've talked about him a bunch. So, because I don't want to be unfair to you. Do you have an answer, Corey?
I don't. I couldn't even fathom who's getting the most innings in the spring.
Alberto Mejia. I just wanted to say the name.
So I ignored. No, that's incorrect. So the answer is Eddie Butler with four. He pitches for the Cubs now. He's a former Rocky. But
that's a Nando Delfino favorite.
Nando Delfino? Interesting. But the answer, fantasy relevant wise, with one win less, is actually Michael Pineda.
Oh.
Michael Pineda's got three wins this spring. And he got bombed yesterday, did Pineda.
It happens.
But it happens, right? There's nothing to worry about here yet.
No, but it's in true Michael Pineda fashion, or as they call him, Michael Pineda. The previous start he had, it was like, you know, five no-hit innings, eight strikeouts, and he looked like the greatest, and then he turns around the next time out. I mean, Pineda's a guy I would take a shot on certain teams. I would not invest in him in every league, but, you know, you got to take flyers sometimes, and his price is reasonable.
There you go. All right. Corey, I'll try you again. Actually, we went to you first last time. It's only fair to go to Matt now. Modica, who is leading spring training in strikeouts?
I'm going to say Taijuan Walker.
You're very good at this game. Taijuan Walker's number two.
That's
tied for second with 21 strikeouts.
I think he got a few more yesterday, though.
This is according to MLB.com.
That's fine.
So, you know, if it didn't update, it didn't update. But it's according to MLB.com last night.
I like that.
Taijuan Walker, very, very good. He's, according to what I have, at 21. So he's first or second. So it's a fantastic guess, no matter what. Corey, would you like to make a guess?
Yeah. Michael Pineda.
It's not Michael Pineda.
That was a good one,
too. Wasn't a bad guess.
He was up there. I'm sure he was.
He's not in the top two.
Let's go Jacob DeGrom.
He's not Jake DeGrom. Now, both of these players are players we talked about. One of them, you absolutely love, Modica. The other one, you're interested in?
Danny Salazar.
Danny Salazar is number one at 23 strikeouts.
But important to note with Danny Salazar, he started out with 8 walks, 8 strikeouts. Since then, he's got like 15 strikeouts to 3 walks.
So pretty good.
Very important to point out.
That's pretty good. So Danny Salazar, now you love him. You're in on Danny Salazar with the strikeouts. But the guy that finished number two, tied with Taiwan Walker, you also love. And that is Jared Eichhoff, who we've talked about almost every day now. Danny Salazar, Jared Eichhoff, Taiwan Walker. Can you rank those three players for me?
I'm going to go Paxton, Salazar.
Paxton's not included in this.
Oh, I'll say Paxton, I Matt.
Who Salazar, Eichhoff, and Walker.
Okay, it's going to be Salazar, Eichhoff, and then Walker. I mean, Walker looks really good. Really, really good. It's spring training. This is what you want to see. I mean, I really don't watch that much spring training because I don't want to be swayed in certain ways and fall too in love with people. But one of the things you do look at is strikeouts to walk. And Taiwan Walker is another thing we look at. American League player going to the National League.
Worst ballpark, though.
That's the one deterrent there. It is Chase Field, whatever they call it now. I don't know if it's changed or not.
I think it's still Chase.
Go in there. But he's a guy that I'm not going to overreach for. His price was very good. It's starting to move up. Everybody's seeing these numbers. I mean, Eichhoff, to me, is the guy that I'm gonna hone in on. He is also starting to move up a bit as well. But he did have the strikeouts did increase towards the end of the season. Like I said, he's a guy that is ready for the 200 innings. So I definitely like him. The only thing with Salazar is health. It's health, health, health. He seems to, the last couple of outings, being able to repeat that delivery. Been very impressive. Let's see how he closes out the spring. He's a guy that I'm going to take that shot on. He has the highest upside of all.
What about you? How'd you rank those three players, Corey?
Name them again.
The Danny Salazar.
Mm-hmm.
Taiwan Walker. And Jared Eichhoff.
Salazar, Walker, and Eichhoff. I go Eichhoff, Walker, Salazar.
Why Salazar last after Modique had him first?
Because I like the other two players a little bit better.
Fair enough. Now, what if I added in James Paxton? Your boy. I've tried to just literally put in everyone you like at this exact spot.
Paxton's going to be number one according to my rankings, the way I have them ranked.
It's James Paxton's going to be number one because he's a top 20 pitcher for you.
I have him just outside, but yeah. I got into a thing on Twitter on Saturday, and then I basically tweeted out everything Paxton was in the second half, 70 innings or more from all the pitchers we have. I mean, fastball velocity, second. I mean, like FIP, he was second or third. XFIP, he was right there. Swing and strike rate, he was in the top 15. Whip, he was tied for 18th with Corey Kluber and I think maybe Yu Darvish or somebody. I mean, the guy, what he did in that second half, was everything we've been waiting for from James Paxton. James Paxton, he pitched 120 innings. No, James Paxton last season pitched 172 innings. So, I mean, are we confident he's going to pitch 172 innings this season? Absolutely not. But you got to take some shots where he's going. I mean, he is starting to, you know, the tax is coming. You're going to have to pay. But I'm still paying it. And unless there's somebody that I feel is a more secure pick at that point, I mean, I don't see the real difference in health with a Paxton or a Jameson Taillon, two guys I really like. They both, Taillon was out for 2 seasons.
It's true, and it's absolutely somebody people are all in on. Let's continue with spring. Corey, we go back to you. What fantasy-relevant starter, because I'm not trying to get you to name guys who aren't going to make the team, because that's not fair to anybody.
Nope.
What fantasy-relevant starter leads winter training in ERA?
The lowest ERA of fantasy-relevant starter.
It's 2.16 is the ERA.
Danny Duffy?
He's not Danny Duffy. He's been in the WBC for a while, so that's tough.
Oh, well, yeah. Can't do it from there.
You got it, Modica?
I think I got the whip, but hold on for...
Whip is next, so...
ERA. Trying to think who hasn't got blown up yet. Do we get a hint here at all?
Yes.
American League.
American League. Baseball. Okay.
And he is a American League is winter training baseball, and he is a top 12 starting pitcher in 2017.
Justin Verlander.
That is correct. God, nice, this guy nice. Is good.
That's a good one right
he
there.
He is good. Yes, Justin Verlander.
That was my
Verlander.
Next guess.
He is correct. Justin Verlander, ever since he kind of figured out how to pitch again, or figured out how to pitch without the fastball, things have certainly gone the right way, Corey.
Yeah, things have gone the right way. Like you said, being about the second half of 2015, we started to see Verlander become more crafty of a pitcher. But then again, he comes out last year, goes right back to his dominant numbers, putting up over 250 strikeouts, well over 200 innings, got that ERA down from the previous year when he was struggling. So, you know, Justin Verlander continues to get it done. He's a top pitcher, a little bit older in age, but still like Justin Verlander. And he's got his wife is nice, too.
Yeah, I like Kate.
Mm-hmm. She's great on Twitter as well.
Yes, yes, she is. You said you know who leads in whip.
So I think I got it. I'm going to go with somebody I mentioned already, Taijuan Walker.
It is not Taijuan Walker. This guy, I think, says all the answers, Corey.
Yeah.
It was a good guess. I think his whip is pretty damn low. So
not number one. Do you know who is number one, Corey Parson?
In spring training whip?
Winter training whip.
Winter training whip.
Yes.
He's fantasy relevant?
He's fantasy relevant.
Give me a range of pitcher he going off the board.
Top 12 starting pitcher.
Oh, he's a top 12 guy, too?
Yes, sir. So I'm keeping it relevant for all of us.
No, that's good stuff.
I'll eliminate this. He's a top 10 starting pitcher.
Top 10 starter with a good whip. Jake Arrieta.
He's not Jake Arrieta.
I will go with his teammate, John Lester.
He's not John Lester. Corey, he's a top 5 starting pitcher.
Noah Syndergaard.
He's not Noah Syndergaard.
Madison Bumgarner.
It is not Madison Bumgarner. Corey, he's the top 3 starting pitcher.
It's not Max Scherzer. It's Clayton Kershaw.
It is Clayton Kershaw. Number one overall. Not really much to say about him, but yeah. Clayton Kershaw.
He's a little bit. He's all right.
Leading spring training and whip. Matt Wadiga deciding if he should go number one overall in his main event. I'm considering my keeper leave. I'm going to take him number one overall over Mookie Betts. So a lot of Clayton Kershaw talk, and there may be a ton on the road of experts going forward if we both grab him. Let's go to the hitters, guys.
I don't have him nowhere.
You don't have Clayton Kershaw.
I like to get offense in my
draft. I understand. All right. This one's going to be for Matt. Who is the leading spring training in RBI?
RBI.
I can't say he's super fantasy relevant. I mean, maybe one day, but
I'm going to go with Greg Bird.
He's not Greg Bird.
That was a good guess.
I believe he plays the same position, though. I believe. In the National League.
The National League. Okay.
That's a good guess, though, Greg Bird. Corey, I'm going to stick with Matt on this one.
I'm fine with that.
I'm just keeping it real.
Don't try to come between us.
Is it Freddie Freeman?
It's not Freddie Freeman. That is the right division.
Okay. The right division.
That is right. You got an answer.
Tommy Joseph.
That is the right team.
Oh, man.
That is the right team.
Oh. Well,
it's not Ryan Howard.
No, I know it's not damn Ryan Howard. What's homeboy's name? Franco.
It's not Mikel Franco. He doesn't play first base.
He's on the other side of the
field. It's just tough. I think this guy plays first base outfield, I'd like to say. You guys are right there. The answer is Brock Stassi, or Stacy. His brother's Max, the catcher. He leads spring training RBI. That one was tough.
Greg, yes, it was. That was hard.
I'll skip runs, which is Arizmendi Alcantara. You weren't going to get that one either. Mm-hmm. So.
Say his name.
Arizmendi Alcantara.
I like that.
You like that. Who leads spring training in home runs with 6?
I think it's the same guy who leads an average.
It is not the same guy that leads an average.
Okay, well, home runs.
Who do you think leads an average?
Well, I think in home runs it's Greg Bird, and
it's
I know
not he, Greg Bird.
It's not Greg Bird, huh? Mm-mm. Wow, dude's been killing it.
Greg Bird's not even first or second.
How many home runs is Greg Bird?
Well, now I'm gonna look it. Now I'm gonna look it up. Hold
on.
You felt that, but you're wrong.
I don't like this game anymore.
I like this game. I like this game, huh? I wrote minor league stats instead of winter training stats. That's my bad.
Oh yeah, come on, Greg.
No. Just now, the stats are real. Relax.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you got us out here with fake news.
It's not fake news. It's real news. Who leads the home runs, Corey? There's two guys.
Give me
Greg Bird is his four home.
Give
runs,
me a hint, but don't get like, but try to make it. Don't make it too obvious.
All right, so there's two guys that each have six home runs. One is a top 20 fantasy baseball player. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is not, and he's not going to be drafted. But I'd say we all know who he is. We haven't really talked about him. He hits a home run almost every day, and if he doesn't hit a home run, he probably strikes out. In fact, is he leading the league in hitter strikeouts? He's not, but he has a ton.
And he's a top 20 player.
One is a top 20 player. The other one is basically all or nothing. Home run.
Oh, okay, okay. The other one's all or nothing.
Oh, all or nothing, home run or nothing.
He's not fantasy. Could be drafted in fantasy baseball.
Oh, wow. The top 20 guy.
Yeah. He got six
home
runs.
A good spring. Oh, Bryce Harper.
Correct. There you go, Bryce. Bryce executive.
Yes.
There you go, Bryce Harper. That's correct. Six home runs for Bryce Harper. Mojica, can you get the other one?
Chris Davis with a K?
No, he's fantasy relevant. Chris Davis.
Oh, you're saying he's not fantasy relevant?
Not fantasy relevant. But we all know him. He is now on his third team. One of his teams was the New York Yankees, but he never played a major league game for the Yankees. Played a major league game last year. Is he a catcher? No. But he wanted to be a catcher for a while. But now he's back in the AL. He's going to be a DH, but he's not going to make this team.
Wow. You're really confused. Yeah, it was worse giving me the information.
The answer is Peter O'Brien.
Oh, the legend of P.O.B.
There you go, the legend of P.O.B. See, I knew you knew what it was, but I knew you weren't going to get the answer. Okay, we're going to come take a break. We'll come back. I'm going to ask who is second in home runs, because there's three relevant fantasy players that each have five. We'll talk about fantasy relevant in average, and then who leads the winter training in stolen bases. We'll break that down next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Bryce Harper, Peter O'Brien, both have six home runs this spring. There's a bunch of guys that have five. In fact, there's five guys that have five. One of them is Brock Stassi. We just talked about him. Another one is Jose Osuna. We're not going to talk about him.
No.
But the three other guys here are all very fantasy relevant. Corey Parson, I begin with you. Can you name one of the three guys that has five home runs this spring?
Who's having a good spring? Three guys with five home runs. Well, Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper has six.
Well, he has five.
But one of them has exactly five.
Five home runs in the spring. Baseball player.
One of these guys is a top 10 outfielder.
Nelson Cruz in WBC.
He's in the WBC, yeah.
That doesn't count.
I got to make sure he's in the top 10 outfielder.
I know one.
He's a top 15 outfielder. Sorry.
Top 15 outfielder.
He could be top 10. You know what? I still think he's top 10, to be honest with you. I don't believe these NFBC ADPs.
What is it, Yonis Cespedes?
It is Yonis Cespedes.
Yay!
That was the one I knew.
Nice job, Corey.
They're going to scramble, Corey.
He's a Met. Whatever.
Nice job, Corey.
Thank you, Greg.
Yonis Cespedes crushing the spring. He's got five home runs. All right, Modica, you're up now. And another one is also an outfielder. He is a top 50 outfielder. Having a nice spring.
Justin Upton?
No, but his name does start with a J.
Name this.
So there you go.
Start with a J.
Looking for an outfielder that has five home runs this winter. Because, you know, spring's just starting. Making that clear. It's winter training, not spring training.
Name starts with a J.
Name starts with a J.
Jay Bruce?
He's not Jay Bruce. Top 50 outfielder I'm looking for, Corey. Name starts with a J. He's an outfielder.
We say Justin Upton.
And he plays in the National League.
He plays in the American League, Justin Upton.
Yes, it's not Justin Upton. Looking for an outfielder.
Outfielder, name start with a J, playing the...
Oh, I know who it is.
Playing in the National League.
You want to give Corey a chance?
No, Matthew, go ahead.
Jock Peterson?
It's going down.
It's going down, Jock Peterson. Where are you on Jock Peterson, Modica?
later on, I don't have a problem taking a chance with him. The average has been a drain. I don't know how. I don't think he'll ever hit for a high average. But
will he ever run?
I think if he was going to, you would have seen it. Maybe you'll see a couple of more stolen bases. But, I mean, in his last season in the minors, he was like 30-30.
Yeah.
And we were all, like, jacked
for
that.
We're all going nuts about him.
I think he's better than what he's shown previously in his career. Now he gets, he's getting more seasoning under. I know some people are really high on Peterson this season. I'm warming up to him. I'm fine with his price as a late-round outfielder.
Okay. What about you, Corey? Where are you and Jock Peterson?
Yeah, everybody don't like his game. They're like, oh, he strike out a lot and don't really look pretty. I think what was shorty, Jessica Kleinschmidt was on. She was like, it looked like he's laboring when he's at the plate and all of that.
Labor.
But the bottom line is he still hit the ball out the ballpark. So, you know.
Okay.
Dollar make you holler.
Dollar make you holler.
A little bit more than a dollar,
I would say it's going to cost you more than a dollar to
still
make you holler.
Still make a late, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So you're like, whatever, no Jock Peterson. All right, the last guy here. Has 5 home runs this spring. Is a shortstop who you would never think of hitting monster power numbers by any means. But I'm really interested to see what you guys think of him this year. If I look at the old NFBC ADP here, as a shortstop, he is a top 10 shortstop. But you wouldn't necessarily think of him as necessarily a power guy.
Top 10 shortstop, not a power guy.
The tricky thing here is with the WBC, we got to eliminate those players.
You wouldn't think of him as a power guy. However, he hit over 20 home runs last year.
Freddy Galvis?
He's not Freddy Galvis. Top 10 shortstop I'm looking for. He's not a top 10. He's not a top 10. He hit 20 home runs last year, Corey, but he only batted .238.
He's going to do better than that.
Is this Marcus
Brandon
City?
Crawford?
It's not Marcus Semien or Brandon Crawford. 20 bombs last year. 95 ribbies.
Oh. Addison Russell?
Good job.
Addison Russell. I don't think people realize he had 21 home runs last year.
I don't think people realize what he did last season in comparison to his age with the 21 homers, 95 RBIs, is like top 6 for like 22 and under. It's like Alex Rodriguez level.
So I think people saw he batted .238. I think people saw that he bats 8th or 9th every night. And they're just like, you know what? I like Addison Russell. I don't love him because he doesn't get enough at bats. And the average isn't good enough. Where are you on Addison Russell?
I think Addison Russell is a very good player. Like I just mentioned, what he was able to do last season. I think he moves up a little in that lineup. It's all dependent upon how things shake out. I'm supremely angry that Javi Baez isn't going to be playing second base every day.
Doesn't make so much sense.
It's just he's one of the funnest players to watch play the position.
Funnest, definitely a word.
But, we're going to make, some things up here and there. But getting back to Addison Russell, I think this kid is on the rise. Is the average going to get there this season? I think it improves. I think he's, a 250-ish with the power, and that lineup is just so damn good. If he moves up a couple of spots in the lineup,
You don't know that he's going to.
I don't know if he's going to, but look what he did batting in the bottom end of the lineup. I know maybe sometimes he got 7th or 6th here or there, but if he continues to bat in the bottom of that lineup, I think this is a player who's only going to get better. So I think that's why shortstop's just so deep. He's not a bad option to take. I'm fine taking him where he's going.
You want to see an improvement on the plate discipline, but this kid can play. You feel what I'm saying? And you're right. You wish he had a better spot in the lineup, but he's going to. You think he gets the batting average up to .250 this year?
I don't think it's unreasonable.
Huh? Yeah, I think. Like I said, it's 22, whatever, turning 23, and. So it takes these kids some time. I don't think he's ever going to be with somebody that's battling for a batting title.
No.
But
no.
I think the 250-ish range, like we're saying north of 250, I think this year he does get that done.
Can you tell me, this is tough, who leads average in spring training? Now, someone named Adam Frazier actually leads the league in average. Should I know who Adam Frazier is, Modica?
In deeper leagues, yes. I think he's going to have some relevance.
Can you tell us who Adam Frazier is?
Adam Frazier plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Okay.
He's going to be pretty much playing all over the infield, playing some outfield. I think currently now he's labeled as an outfielder.
Yes.
I took him in like the 30th round of that 50-round monstrosity I did the other night.
Yep.
And he's a guy that's going to be filling in. There's reports that he might even challenge a Josh Harrison. I'm not going to get that crazy yet. But
it just doesn't seem like there's a spot for him right now.
Yes, but the shortstop they currently have is
Jordy Mercer.
Jordy Mercer, who's, you know, Jordy Mercer. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, let's see how it goes. Even if, I'm not saying you draft Adam Frazier now. Adam Frazier is a guy you have on your watch list.
Okay.
That could be a nice waiver pickup for you.
Having a fantastic spring in 14 games, 40 at bats, which, you know, isn't a small number. The most at bats for anyone in the spring is 55. So 40 is not like terrible. He's batting 450 here this spring. So I just think that's something to note. Okay. Besides that, you have Jose Osuna has a great average of 417. Heredia, some Hernandez guy. Mitch Haniger is batting 404. I think that's really good for Mitch Haniger. Is there a spot for him? I don't know.
Well, Mitch Haniger is like one of these late-round fantasy darlings by the experts,
sure,
and stuff. I mean, I don't know. He's been in the PCL. I think he's like 26, so he's a little older. Seems like he's going to get that opportunity in Seattle. So, yeah, you know, when you're in that, say, reserve round type area, Mitch Haniger's a flyer I'll take a chance on. You know, I've heard some people be optimistic of a 2020 season.
Yep.
I don't know about that. It's possible, but at that range, when you're going in the reserve round, you know, you do find some gems. Like I had Jeremy Hellickson was a reserve round gem for me last year.
There you go. It's pretty good.
Hey, Matt, let me ask, how many Fab Leagues are you doing this year?
Fab Leagues that I'm doing solo, I think, is 5.
So you'll be running Fab for 5 teams on Sundays?
Yes. The other leagues that don't have the Fab, I can deal with. You just got to set that's still a work. You still have to put in the work and set up all your lineups and your pitchers and all that. Like I said, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, a young ginger intern.
Yeah, to help
female
with
persuasion. You know.
Pick up Mitch Haniger. So. How long is that process going to take you?
It's pretty much a daily process. If you do it as a daily process where you're pretty much looking at the waiver wires and all, you know, or maybe take one team a day, however I want to do it. I mean, I don't want to leave. You can't leave everything up to Sunday because then you're just going to. You have to do the review and all the news and what's going on. But you have to be monitoring it during the week. First, you just take the load off because, you know, it's like Sunday night depression because you're just like mentally worn out.
Yeah, it's tough.
And then at some point, you got to walk away from the computer because I find myself, I go back and then I start adding dollars to those bids.
Yeah, yeah, no, you always second guess, whatever.
Yeah, you start second guessing yourself. So, you know, it's for me, I'd consider it a weekly, a daily thing during the week and something that you should have pretty much outlined for each one come Sunday.
So the guy that was actually number one on my list for average has like disappeared from this page for some reason. I don't know why, because I just looked up his average and it's still right. But I'll just give it to you. It's more fun that way. Brandon Drury is having a really good spring. And you give me the head nod, yes, here, Modica. There's a lot of guys like Brandon Drury on Arizona. Corner infielder, an outfielder, corner outfielder. Is Brandon Drury getting enough at bats to be fantasy relevant?
Brandon Drury is a nice fantasy relevant player this season for the fact, as you mentioned, he has third base, outfield currently, but he's the guy that could be the everyday second baseman in Arizona. And he's currently sixth in the order. When they face left-handers, he'll bat second as of now from what I'm hearing. So this is a guy who last year put up some pretty decent numbers for the D-backs.
Last year, he had 16 home runs with a .282 average, .329 OBP, 53 RBI, 59 runs scored.
And how many plate appearances?
He had 461 at-bats.
Okay, so I mean, 461 at-bats, if he's there pretty much designated their everyday second baseman. This is a guy. This is a guy that's going to give you flexibility. Plays in a very nice park, and is a guy that, you know, I'm going to be looking at.
Batting, as Matt said, he's batting sixth, playing every day, and the eligibility is going to be off the charts. Second, third, outfield. A lot to like about Brandon Jerry.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm, you know.
Some other guys here with high averages. I mentioned Mitch Haniger just a moment ago. Keon Broxton's up there. We knew that. We knew he was having a really good spring. Travis Shaw as well. I'm off on Travis Shaw in Milwaukee. I don't believe in him. Any love for Travis Shaw here?
I have some. Late round love for Travis Shaw. It's kind of like he's, you know, the power will play in that park. He's got first base, third base eligibility. They traded for him for a reason, something that Milwaukee liked about him. I'm not going to put him up like, say, last season they traded for a guy named Jonathan Villar. The GM knew him in Houston, wanted him. And I'm not saying Shore is going to be as good as that. But Shore is going to have some good value. I think he may even steal some bases, too. But his power will play from the left side in Miller Park.
And where do you think he bats in the lineup, Travis Shaw?
Probably the middle.
Right? It should be right in the middle, right?
It's going to be in the middle, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure how Milwaukee wants to play things out. Everybody's going to get an opportunity, pretty much. I mean, Ryan Braun entrenched there. They're probably hoping at some point they can trade him away. But they're looking at a lot of different players. You know, Jonathan Villar has cemented his role in there
well. He's legit.
But, you know, people are going to get opportunities. And if people fail, they got guys to come in and step right up. So it's going to be an interesting team to watch.
Final stat from winter training here. Gentlemen, stolen bases. Now, Gerard Dyson's got 5. He knew that, even though he's battled some leg soreness here as of late.
Oh.
Yeah. Michael Taylor, the Nationals center fielder, or former center fielder, Adam Eaton, down in center field, has 6. One guy has 7. Can you name him?
Okay.
He is a outfielder in the American League. He does not have a starting job.
Malik Smith?
It is not Malik Smith. Good guess, though. Good guess. He's not Malik Smith. That is not the correct division either. You know him as a speed guy. Probably had him on your team at some point in the past because you're looking for speed. Rodriguez has 45 teams, so the odds are.
Ben Revere?
He's not Ben Revere.
And he's playing for the Angels. But Ben Revere could actually become famous.
He could. He's playing for the Angels, as you said, and that is the right division.
Right division.
As you look for a speed guy. Who's an outfielder?
A speed outfielder.
Leonis Martin?
It is not Leonis Martin because he does not play for Seattle either.
Wait, Martin doesn't play for Seattle?
No, he plays for Seattle. I'm saying the guy doesn't play for Seattle. But the guy may have at one point replaced Leonis Martin.
Oh, I know who it is. Delano DeShields.
Junior. That is correct. Delino DeShields Jr. has got 7 stolen bases.
Be Rashi Davis.
It was not Rashi Davis. It is Delino DeShields. No spot necessarily for him. Do we, you know?
Well, I think he could get a spot. I mean, who's the starting left fielder right now for Texas? Is it? I mean, are we all in on Jerickson
Profar? I think we are.
I want to see the bat. I mean, I like him as an infielder. I think he plays better as an infielder. And if somebody does go down, Delino DeShields will get an opportunity.
I agree with that, but I think they're going to do everything they can to get him to get Jerickson Profar on the lineup at this point.
Yeah, no, they are. But, I mean, I just think he was more exciting as an infielder.
And that's fine, but you also have Ryan Rua, who they love. They're going to get him in there. To me, DeShields is nothing more than, you know, a speed guy off the bench, a backup center fielder for Carlos Gomez, and that's kind of it.
You are right in your analysis, but if he does get a good opportunity, that's a 30 stolen base guy.
Oh, no, I agree. Yeah. I just don't see a spot for him. That's all. All right.
Those stats on the bench.
Those are your winter training stats. We're going to come back. I have a couple of news and notes I want to get to, including Tim Anderson's contract extension. Should we be extending him in fantasy baseball? As well as Francisco Liriano, who we've fallen out of love with after a couple of bad months. But spring looks good. His end of the year looks good. Should we be backing on Francisco Liriano? Liriano and Anderson next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And the White Sox are about to commit a hell of a lot of money to Tim Anderson after playing like half a season for them. Now, Tim Anderson in his brief time was very, very good for Chicago at shortstop. He's a guy that it looks like he's going to sign a six-year, $25 million deal, which would be more than a first-year eligible player has ever received. First after Chris Archer's record, is what I'm trying to say. Couldn't get that out there. But Chris Archer made $20 million. He's about to make $25. Now, Anderson, last season, 9 home runs, 10 stolen bases, batted .283 with that .306 OBP. Corey, let me start with you. Tim Anderson is 23 years old. He'll turn 24 in June.
They got a lot of they put a lot of trust in him because what they're going to wrap him up till he's what, like 30 something years old.
About. Mm-hmm.
So they're buying up all that time. So if he can be top of the lineup bat that they expect him to be, you know, you're looking at a guy that can hit .280, give you probably 15 home runs, 25 stolen bases. It's a nice call. You know, I know the King always talks about him. You know, Tim mm-hmm. Anderson, he's a player that he likes a lot. So I'm in on Tim Anderson.
I've called Tim Anderson this draft season the poor man's Trey Turner.
Trey Turner's a first-round pick, so this is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see. I mean, I'm feeling a hell of a lot better. I was concerned with taking Tim Anderson. I thought maybe he's going to, if he failed early, he could go to the minor leagues for some at-bats and then come back up. But now that they're making this commitment, which I think is the right way, and I think they're going to do this with a lot of their young talent that they have, which I think is smart, I'm feeling a little more emboldened with Tim Smith. You know, I think this is a 30 stolen base.
Tim Anderson.
Oh, yeah, Tim Anderson. Did I say Tim Smith?
He did.
I don't know where the hell that came from.
Sam.
But, yeah, no, this is a guy I like. The power, yeah, I mean, I'm happy if he hits 9 to 10 home runs. I'm looking for the stolen bases. If he's the OBP is his bugaboo, his
he has
problem.
A walk.
Yeah. So is he going to change? I don't really think so. But you look at guys like Jose Peraza, mm-hmm. they really don't walk neither. They steal a ton of bases. And Jose Peraza's success rate isn't all that great if you go back and look at last year on the stolen base. No, Peraza will steal 30 plus bases if he plays every day as well. I like Tim Anderson. I've been buying him. Now I'm feeling a little more confident at the plate appearances that he will get in 2017.
So if you're confident in his plate appearances, would you rather have Anderson or Peraza?
I'm probably going to say yeah, because, I mean, if Jose Peraza has shown he's had the better average, but he hasn't done it over a full season. And if he fails, there is Dilson Herrera there that could come and take his spot. And I think Dilson Herrera was having a pretty good spring. I don't know what he's doing right now. But, yeah, I mean, Peraza's going much higher now than Tim Anderson. And I don't want to pay that tax on him, but I will be more interested.
So I agree that Anderson has the ability to steal you 30 bases. I don't really think that's a question. Like, if he plays every day, he should steal you 30 bases, no problem. It's everything else that concerns me. It's that OBP. It's keeping that average up. Does he get double-digit home runs? Like, I know he had 9 last year. He didn't really hit home runs in the minors all that much. It's can he continue to grow that? Like, can that average rise? Like, I need to know more about Tim Anderson. I know he's not going to cost you much, but I guess my question, Matt, is are we comfortable with Tim Anderson as a starting shortstop or as a starting middle infielder?
Well, you're pretty much paying for him to be a starting shortstop.
Yep, you're paying for shortstop in this guy. Especially
I'm comfortable. Yeah, like Corey said, yeah, I'm comfortable. Like I said, the 30 stolen bases to me, now that he's got this contract, I mean, unless he's just god awful and they got to do a Byron Buxton thing and put him down for a little bit.
Oh, boy. Like Barbaro? No, not like that.
I think, you know, 40 stolen bases is not out of the reach. This kid is super fast. You know, he's got to work on that OBP, but the speed is legit. And like I said, I like pairing him. If I get him as my starting shortstop, there's really good middle infielders. And even say a guy like a Brandon Drury, you get him in like 10 games, he's going to have middle infield. If I got to do it as Dribble Cabrera, or Brandon Crawford late, I got to wait. You know, these are guys I don't have a problem pairing him with. I'm paying the, if, He was saying he's going 11th round. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Tim, that's 15-teamer, so he's, you know, he'll go a little later.
Okay, yeah. So Tim Anderson, we're interested here. Interested. Okay. What about Francisco Liriano, guys, who's continued to dominate throughout the spring? And yesterday, he's no different. He has struck out 10 guys yesterday and has an 18-2 K to walk ratio in the spring. I mean, that's tremendous.
Listen, you get some good games out of Francisco Liriano. Mm-hmm. You know, serviceable. Be careful with him because he's going to drop a couple stinkers in there too. Especially playing in Toronto, it's going to be a couple games where it's going to be like 2 2/3 and 8 earned. You got to be careful because he's done it to me before in fantasy.
Well, last season was very disappointing for Francisco Liriano owners, but the move to Toronto was actually a blessing. Getting paired up with Francisco Liriano, with Russell Martin. They're a tandem that's worked very well together in Pittsburgh. Now they're reunited. Cue up the Stevie B, Spring Love. Liriano was killing it. He was going really late. Now he's moving up the draft board. He's a guy, in my opinion, has gone criminally, he's been criminally undervalued. I mean, look, he had a bad first half this year. Nobody's going to argue that. But he's been pretty good for a while now. And he's a guy that I'm going to target for the back of my rotation.
So, when you say you're targeting him over who? Like, would you rather have Francisco Liriano over, like, which guys here?
I got to see where he's definitely moved up. I'm going to say I'm trying to find
right,
it for instance.
Let me give you something. I thought maybe you had something. So I apologize. Throwing you a spot there. All right, Francisco Liriano or Zach Davies?
I'm going to go. I do like Zach Davies. I do like him, but I'm probably going to. That's a really good one. Good
Thank
call
you.
There.
Thank you.
And you did that on purpose, Greg.
I did.
I know he played the game right.
I'm trying to.
He played
the
game right. For me, I'm going to go with Liriano, but that's an excellent one. Those are guys you're going to make that decision on.
Yeah.
I like both, but just for the strikeout upside, and the fact that Liriano's done it before, and that Russell Martin factor for me is huge.
What about one we did yesterday, Corey?
Like Russell Martin,
Francisco Liriano or Lance Lynn?
Liriano or Lynn?
That's what we talked about yesterday, Lance Lynn.
Lynn is intriguing in his own right. Look, I got to go with Liriano also.
I'm going to piggyback on Corey. I mean, Lance Lynn is coming off the Tommy John. Playing for the Cardinals is definitely the better of the two. But I'm going to go with Liriano. He's given you over 160 innings now for, three or four years. And with Lynn coming off the Tommy John, it's Liriano.
Let me throw one out there. Mm-hmm. Liriano or Wainwright?
I'm going to go Wainwright. I think Wainwright does have a bounce back. I know he got lit up the other day.
Yeah, but laughing at him.
But he has pitched well this spring. He is working on some new pitches and stuff. So the curveball is much better this spring. If the changeup, if he can lock that down, and he's going to get the innings. I don't see him. I know he's older, but I think this is a proud warrior. And I take the gamble where he's going.
Last one before the break. Francisco Liriano or Tyler Skaggs?
For me, it's not close. I know people like Skaggs.
I love Skaggs.
But, I mean, Skaggs, has he ever pitched?
I understand, but he seems healthy. He pitched very well in a minor league game yesterday. Like,
but they were checking him out a couple days prior. I'm not saying don't draft Tyler Skaggs. I'm not saying I don't like him. But I gotta go with Liriano here.
Yeah, we've seen Skaggs every now and then, a little bit spotty. Time and time, you see the brilliance that people think that he can't have, but Liriano's much safer.
Yeah, like Corey says, there is reasons to like Skaggs, and this is a player with upside. But I'm gonna go with the guy that's done it before, the guy that gives me the 160 innings, the 175 strikeouts. So,
all right, there you go. Take our final break. We're gonna come back and. Jets have a new quarterback, and I felt like we got to spend at least a couple minutes on it. Josh McCown headed to New York. We'll get the guys' thoughts and wrap up the program. Coming up next.
When
We're back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Final few minutes. Hey, the old school fantasy hours next. EOG's Corey Parson, George Kurtz, Scott Angle come your way. Had a good conversation today. Keep it rolling on the OGs. Gentlemen, the New York Jets have a brand new quarterback, and his name is Josh McCown. They give him $6 million guaranteed, another, I think, $7 million available based on incentives. So if he has an amazing year, plays all year, he'll make a good chunk of change. But if not, you know, $6 million guaranteed. This is enough money, Corey, that tells me McCown's going to be the starting quarterback. So it sounds like Jay Cutler's kind of canceled his visit there. I don't know if Chase Daniel's still going to visit there, but Josh McCown looks to be the starter in New York.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It appears to be right now. Josh McCown, nothing to see here. Journeyman, Jag, just a guy, you name it. Just a player, slap the name and jersey and the number on the back. Go out there and quarterback the team. We're going to stink. Bridge quarterback, see what we can pull away with. Maybe you win us a couple games. Josh McCown is not going to go on no big playoff run. So Josh McCown is the Jet quarterback. That leaves Jay Cutler, Robert Griffin, Colin Kaepernick. None of those dudes have jobs.
Well, I think for one of the first times in a while, the Jets made the right move here, bringing in Josh McCown. Where they currently stand, look, you're looking to punt this season. You're looking to land the kid from SC. And bringing in Jay Cutler, I think, would have been a total dumpster fire. So what the Jets are doing here, I mean, this is going to be interesting. Can they trade out of that spot and grab a couple of picks? We'll see.
You don't think they're going to draft from their spot? Try to just improve the team here?
I mean, if they can get multiple picks and, you know, do like a Parcells kind of thing where
sure,
you slide back a little, I think it just makes it. I think that's the
smart
move.
They just have so many holes at this point.
Yeah, and like I said, if you're going to be bad, this is the year to be bad with, what is it, Sam Darnold in the waiting.
I'm sure.
Maybe he pulls a Peyton Manning, which he did to the Jets that time when he said he was going to stay in school.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's always possible.
but, you know. The Jets, hell no.
Yeah, he's like, I ain't going to that.
So while Josh McCown is headed to New York to be their starting quarterback, the Cowboys are kind of sticking to Tony Romo right now, Corey. Yeah. They're not letting Romo be a free agent. It all seemed like it was going to end nice and Romo would be able to go wherever he wants to play. And now with the options kind of still the same in Denver and Houston, the Cowboys haven't budged and released Tony Romo.
The Cowboys look like they're saying that we're going to let this thing play out through the course of the draft. They could even take it a little bit further is what I'm hearing right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Listen, I have no problem with having him be the backup quarterback in 2017.
Well, I think that's very hypocritical of you. Mm-hmm. That's incredibly hypocritical of you.
How is that hypocritical of me?
Because you're the biggest Tony Romo guy. You want Tony Romo to end his career right, sitting on the bench in Dallas?
Yes.
So what kind of Tony Romo guy are you? You don't care. You don't give a crap about
Tony Romo. No, I want him to be the mentor and the leader of the offense from the sideline.
You want him to sit on the bench. That's what you're on. You don't want him to be
able
to play.
I want him to continue to be on my team.
He wants to play.
I understand he
so
wants to play.
So you don't care about Tony Romo?
No, I do care about him. I understand he wants to play, and I want to see him play. But if God wants his quarterback on his team, what are you going to do?
Are you calling Jerry Jones God?
No, not Jerry Jones, the Lord. The God roots for the Cowboys.
That's what is the eye in the sky.
Do you think they would have won a title in the last 25 years? That
God's not all about winning, Greg. It's about trusting the process.
So you're calling Sam Hinkie God now? So anyway, Tony Romo being held captive by the Cowboys, much like maybe Marshall.
Oh, stop it being held captive. No, but he's still getting paid. He liked to be there.
No, but honestly, he does not want to be there.
In all honesty,
he said goodbye on Instagram.
As a Cowboy fan and from the Cowboys' perspective, I mean, unless they're really getting a second-round pick here,
which they're not going to
do
get.
They want to take this cap hit? Isn't that really going to hurt them more than, you know? I mean, I think Denver's got to pay up because I think if he becomes a free agent, he's going to go to the Texans. So if Denver wants him, they got to make the trade. That's my view right now on the situation.
That's the way I feel about the situation also. So, and I think that's what the Cowboys are trying to play against each other and see how it happens. Now, what would you say as far as the cap hit is tough, but
they said, much like Jim Irsay, when he had Andrew Luck and then he cut Peyton Manning, they're going to do right by Tony Romo.
Yeah,
they're not doing that.
Well, they want to do right together, though. Romo's like, I want to do right by you too, Jerry. Feel what I'm saying?
But what about that hit? I mean, how do you feel about that cap?
That's tough. It's tough right there. But, you know, you got the young quarterback in Prescott who's coming on the cheap right now.
Right? I mean, I hear you. I mean, Prescott and Romo together.
The secondary is in shambles right now. But, you know, hopefully we don't have to sign Darrelle Revis. Can you imagine having to play Darrelle Revis as a Dallas Cowboy and him guarding Odell Beckham? Oh.
Yeah, that's going to be some pain.
We got to figure out what we're going to do in the secondary.
Well, they got to improve the defense in a couple of areas, don't they? They lose a couple of guys.
They need to pass rusher, but the secondary really was depleted in the offseason. But Skandrick is back there. He's a rock. Still got Sean Lee holding it down for the linebacker crew. And then we get an edge rusher. We'll see you in the Super Bowl.
The OGs are next, the Old School Fantasy Hour. For Corey Parson, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back right here tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Roto-Rack Experts. Have a wonderful Tuesday afternoon, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thank you.